Yo, yo. I'm James, I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is June 18, 2008. I got real nervous when, I forget his name already, he asked me to speak, and I was like, my heart just sank, and then I did what I was like taught to do, think about a new person. I mean, that's what I had to do, because my fear level's through the roof. I haven't spoken since I came down here. Actually, I'm lying, I spoke at Fireside. But I think back to my drinking career, if I even want to call it a career, and I think back to two occasions that stand out above everything in my whole entire sobriety. I'm going to move this microphone a little bit so I can stand taller. And I think back to when I was 18 years old, my parents took me to Hawaii, and I remember I was out there and I was drinking, and I they took me there for like a wedding anniversary or something like that, and they decided to bring me along, and I was full-blown, drugs, alcohol, whatever. And I was out there, and I found these group of Samoans, and they're big dudes. And we started hanging out, and we started smoking, and then we started drinking together, and then we started walking. And I had a little bit of street smarts, and I realized when they stopped speaking English and they started speaking Samoan, I was in trouble. And they started talking amongst each other. Next thing you know, I got clothesline, and then they held me out like this, and then they just took pot shots in my face. I lost the hearing in my right ear for about almost a month. I could barely hear certain things. I had a dislocated jaw. And I remember when it was happening, I remember this kid's punching me in the face, and I didn't have enough pride to yell out for help. I saw someone walking by. He was like doing like this slow robot dance, like, just walking really, really, really slow. And I was just like, you know, just yell out for help, dude. You're getting punched in the face. And I couldn't do it. You know what I mean? I was asking myself, how am I going to get myself out of this? I brought myself into this mess, you know what I mean? And I obviously I wasn't in the programming. I didn't know drugs and alcohol are what took me there. And, you know, luckily someone ran over and they all scattered. And, you know, I left with a bunch of injuries. And I look back at one other occasion when I was 18 again. And I was down in Mexico in Tijuana. And I've been there before. I remember I went there when I was 17, and I always wanted to go down there and drink and go to the strip clubs, and because the drinking age down there is 18. And I remember I was down there, and my parents were like, "You can go off on your own." And my cell phone, I had to turn my cell phone off because you get roaming charges when you're down there, even if it's on, because it's looking for service. So I turned it off, and I was drinking Dollar Dos Equis, and I was just hanging out. And then I was like, "You know what? I'm going to man up. I'm going to finally go to a strip club." I've only been to two strip clubs ever in my life. And that was my first time in the land. I didn't go again for a while. And I went there, and I go downstairs, and it was really, really awkward. It was like six dudes that worked there and only one girl, and then she's coming up and she's talking to me, and I got two dudes and whisper in my ear, "Yeah, yeah, she likes you." And I'm like, this is completely creepy, dude. I'm like, "Yo, I'm getting out of here." So I start walking up this stairs, and this dude goes boom, and he closed the door, and he goes, "Where's my tip?" And I said, "First off, when I came in here, I had to open the door, and you just stood there. Second of all, now you're closing it, and now I got to open." He said, "Yeah, that's because you can't leave now." And I attribute to that movie, A Bronx Tale, when they locked him in, they said, "Now you can't leave." And this dude said, "Now you can't leave too." And I'm like, "Shit." And I was like, my first thought, "I'm an American citizen." That's what I said. I'm an American citizen. He said, "So what? I'm a Mexican citizen." And I'm like, "Oh." And then I was like, "You know, how once again, James, how am I going to get myself out of this one? You know what I mean? Here I am. Alcohol brought me down here to some sleazy Mexican strip club." And he must have had a change of heart, because I proceeded to try to get by him. And then he said, "You know what? Just get out of here." And then I ran off, only to processed, whatever you want to call it, at the Mexican border for trying to bring stuff across that we're not supposed to. And the look of my mom's eyes, she was crying, and they took everything I had. I had a whole bunch of pipes and a bunch of other things, and they took my social security number down. They copied my license, and they must have had a change of heart, because my heart sank. I was only 18 years old, And then as soon as I got by, I started cursing at the, it was not the Mexican government, it's the USA Customs, and I'm cursing at them, you know what I mean, how dare they take my shit, you know what I mean, this and that. And, you know, I look back at those occasions, you know, especially Hawaii, and especially getting stuck down in that strip club, and I look back that, you know, I got myself in this mess, and God carried me through it, and I look back and I attribute to Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I came here, you guys told me if I don't ask for help, I'm not going to make it. And that's the bottom line, you know? You got to ask the people in the rooms for help. You got to ask your higher power for help. And that's what I chalk it up as, you know what I mean? It was all me and all selfishness when I was out there. You know, something was watching over me that I didn't get killed in half these situations I was in. And that was my higher power. You know, it definitely was. And I'm grateful to have a relationship with my higher power today. You know what I mean? As many mistakes as I make in AA, you know what I mean? If I screw someone over, I do this, I do that. I rob, lie, steal, you know what I mean? I have stuff I can do today to work on these things, and I've done all that stuff in this program. I've made so many mistakes, and you guys judged me. You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, you guys didn't judge me. I love when people say that. Oh, you guys didn't judge me. You guys judged me, and you told me I need to work on this stuff. And you know, I realized what took me out before. I've had previous contact with this program, you know, self-will, you know. And I don't know how I'm doing on time, but I'm going to take a little water break real quick. I was thirsty there. I was going for a little bit. I got sober June 18, 2008. My birthday was June 12th. And before that, I had almost a year of sobriety. And my mom kicked me out on my birthday. I turned 20 years old. My mom kicked me out because I threatened her. And this stuff doesn't scare me anymore. I had an active PFA against me. If anyone doesn't know, that's a protection from abuse order. And she had an active one against me. And she said, you have to leave or else I'm going to call the cops and you're going to go to jail for a year. And I didn't want to go to jail, so I left. And then I proceeded to crash at different friends' house to friends' house. And it was like domino effect. Everyone just started kicking me out left and right. The moms were coming in. What's he doing here? And I'm like, all right, get my backpack on. And I'm scurrying to the next one. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have anything. I didn't have any money. All my money from my birthday, I blew in 20 minutes. And no one wanted me around. So I made a phone. Alcohol wasn't working. It wasn't doing what it used to do for me. I remember I bought 440s. I drank three of them within an hour. And then I was on my fourth one, and I was drinking. I'm from the north, in the Philadelphia area, and we drink 40s. Apparently down here you guys have 32s is what I hear. And so I was on my I was drinking my fourth one. I got halfway down, and I was completely sober, and I said I need to do something with my life. And man, I had previous contact with AA. I had made it to my ninth step, and I balked at making my amends. And I said I need to do something. And I went back to rehab, and I got sober June 18, 2008. And I didn't listen to any of the rules when I came in. I didn't want to do any of the steps. And what happened was the little coins. You guys don't have coins down here, but up north we have coins that say Unity Service and Recovery. I think you guys have them too, but you got to get them special or something like that. But yeah, these Unity Service and Recovery, three sides of the triangle. And I remember I went out to coffee, and there was this pretty girl, and I was like, oh my God, I want to go out for coffee every single night now. And so we go out, and I'm falling in love with this whole Unity aspect, this whole fellowship. And I fell in love with conventions. They took me to a roundup. I fell in love with that. I went to Akron, Ohio, Founders Day. I turned 21 on Founders Day, June 12th. I mean, I turned 21 out there. 6 days later, I came back, and I celebrated my one-year anniversary. And I really, really fell in love with the fellowship. But what happened at the same spectrum was I got in service. You know, I started out doing stuff, cleaning ashtrays, vacuuming the rug. You guys didn't let me make coffee because I fucked it up the first time. I flooded it or something. I forget what happened. They said, no more making coffee for this guy. So I got involved other ways that I could, and you know, eventually, like they asked me to be a service position after I speak, and then they said you want a service position. So I was the general chair of a meeting for about a whole year, and then so I got involved with that. But what happened was I slacked in everything, and for my 1 year to 2 year. I said, you know what, the World Convention's coming up. I want to do my fifth step at the World Convention. I didn't do any of my steps. You know what I mean? When I hear people do their steps in the first couple of days that they get sober, I say, do that. Do that. Don't go down the route I do. I mean, my experience is my experience, but, you know, I really don't regret any of it because it made me really realize what I needed to do, and that was work these steps. And I didn't work any steps at all for about 2 years of my sobriety. I did 1 and 12. I mean, how am I going to help anyone if I don't even know how to help myself at all? I don't have a relationship with my higher power. And what happened was 1 to 2 years, I just existed in this program. I got angry at people. I got fearful of everything in my life, and I hurt girls. So resentment, sex, and fear. And so I wound up World Convention, and I said, I got to buy my four step. And while everyone's having fun at World Convention, I was always that person that I'd rather beat you up. These psychiatrists used to ask me, are you suicidal or homicidal? I always say, I'm homicidal, man. I want to kill everyone. And for the first time in my existence, I'm at World Convention, 60,000 people. I blew out the whole entire spectrum of this whole unity thing, and I want to kill myself at an AA convention. I can't live with my skin, inside my own skin. And I shot up a prayer, and I wrote my four-step. And I remember that song, Eminem, I'm Not Afraid, was like out. And so I put it on repeat, and I'm like, I'm not afraid, man. So I started writing my four-step, and I'm like, I'm not afraid. You know, and I just wrote everything out. The next morning, my sponsor came, and he's like, you ready to do your fifth-step? I said, yes. So I did my fifth-step with him, and I expected all this mystical creature or something like that, some native bird to fly across. Nothing happened. And I was still stuck with me, you know what I mean, because there was still more work to be done. I got back, I did 6 and 7 and 8, and he said, you got to go out there and make this 9 step amends. So that's what I did. I went out to these people that I harmed, and it was hard. You know what I mean, I only have a brief 2 minutes left, and I'll finish it up with this. But I had a girl said she wanted to leave her boyfriend for me, and I said, stay with the guy that treats you with dignity and respect. Don't go to me. And that was hard on me, one girl I really cared about. I had a kid run away from me, said, I'm not going to join Alcoholics Anonymous. He just took off booking. I waited at his house because I knew he'd come home eventually. And I said, that's not what I'm here. I'm here to clear my records of my past and clear my side of the street. And I had a kid who was mentally handicapped pray with me. You know what I mean? That I had harmed when I was in high school because, you know, I was always looking to hurt other people because I was hurting deep down inside, as I know now. And he said, God forgives you and I forgive you and let's pray together. You know what I mean? I'm trying to sum it up real short. And then my sponsor showed me 10 and 11 in the book. You know what I mean? 86 through 88. And we started working on that stuff, praying and meditating. And then I started getting confused with the whole praying and meditating because I didn't know if the meditation was still my selfish needs. Am I asking for this? I'm not asking for anything, but I'm thinking, is this still a selfish need? I mean, is God really talking to me? If God's talking to you guys, I suggest you check yourself in the psych unit. You know, because I got to go to another person and I got to run my ideas through him because some of the ideas that came from my own were complete and utter insanity. So I took on a spiritual advisor. So I had a sponsor, I had a spiritual advisor, and then I got involved with the traditions, and I had a tradition sponsor, and I got involved in all this stuff, and that's when I was in the Philadelphia area, and you know, I loved the area. I moved down here about a month ago, and I'll be honest with you, I really fell off. You know, I really fell off. I mean, I'm not afraid to admit my faults, and so I'm trying to get back involved now in little things. I'm taking a men's meeting to a treatment center tomorrow. I don't know where it's at. You know, I mean, I'm willing and open to sponsor. You know, I mean, whatever I can do, the little things. But if there's anything I want to say, you know, I mean, for myself, I mean, they say trust God, clean house, and help others. You know, I mean, for me, I trusted no one. I hurt others and I robbed houses. You know, it's a complete 180 now. You know, I mean, I got a higher power to go to. And thanks for letting me share.